Support your team wherever they are with Insight in Google Chrome OS. Enterprise-grade security and seamless device deployment for companies of all sizes. Learn more about smart, simple solutions that will unburden your IT department. Go to insight.com/chrome. That's insight.com/chrome.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, November 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Like something out of a sci-fi movie, last week, NASA scientists launched a probe that'll crash into a distant asteroid to change its path through space. Now, Earth isn't in danger of being struck by a massive meteor anytime soon, but scientists and government officials are working to develop a system now that can protect the planet if that were to change in the future. On today's show, our science writer Robert Lee Hotz will be here to discuss the launch and how humanity is working to avoid the fate of the dinosaurs. That's after these headlines. Some of China's biggest state-owned firms are restricting the use of a messaging app from Tencent. Sources say state employees were ordered to stop using some group chat features for work purposes because they could contain sensitive information. Also last week, Chinese regulators told app stores that Tencent has to get government approval before launching new apps. This all comes as Beijing tightens controls over its biggest tech companies. Meanwhile, Ant Group, the financial tech company started by Alibaba founder Jack Ma, is under regulatory scrutiny. Ant is setting up a credit scoring company with state-owned shareholder partners. It's part of a restructuring to bring the business in line with Beijing's new regulatory demands. Last April, China's central bank ordered Ant to overhaul its business into a financial holding company that would fall directly under its control. The streaming wars have pitted giants like Netflix, HBO, and Disney against each other in battles for the best content and the biggest audiences. But one show that's dispensing with all of that is The Chosen. The Christian drama depicting the life of Jesus is produced largely with money raised from fans who watch it on a free app. So far, fans have poured roughly $40 million into it. Our reporter John Jurgensen says the show's novel crowdfunding approach has allowed The Chosen to grow without the help of the industry's big players.
When the show first came out, it actually didn't do so hot because they were charging for it either through a subscription or pay-per-view models. But then as they looked for ways to get people just to sample the show, because they thought they had something really good on their hands, they decided to essentially make it free. And to do that, they used a dedicated app. There's a mobile app you can also watch on their phone, on their website, but the mobile app is the main distribution hub for the show. You watch through the app, you can share through the app, you can contribute funding to the show through the app. And that kind of free ecosystem that they've created has really allowed it to kind of take off and, you know, taken all the friction off of the experience of watching the show and sharing the show.
And Madonna is criticizing Instagram for removing photos from her page. The pop star said her posts were censored because part of her nipple was showing in some of the images. A spokeswoman for Meta, Instagram's parent company, said the posts were removed for breaking its rules against adult nudity. Madonna told her 17 million Instagram followers that she decided to repost the three photos that Instagram blocked, but with strategically placed heart emojis on each. All right, coming up, how does NASA plan to protect the Earth from a massive asteroid impact? We'll have the details after the break.
At CAS, we curate and connect the world's scientific knowledge, weaving a fabric of innovation that reveals the hindsight, insight, and foresight innovators need to accelerate breakthroughs. CAS, the fabric of innovation.
Hollywood has written this kind of scene before, but last week, NASA scientists made it a reality.
3, 2, 1. And liftoff of the Falcon 9 and DART on NASA's first planetary defense test to intentionally crash into an asteroid.
That was the sound of the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, launching into the sky. The probe is headed more than 6 million miles away to hit an asteroid in the hopes of knocking it off course. Now, the asteroid doesn't present a threat to the Earth, the way they typically do when Hollywood tells the story. But scientists want to test this tech now, in case another one ever does. Joining us to discuss how the DART system works and what it means for the safety of our planet is our science writer, Robert Lee Hotz. Hi, Lee. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's always a pleasure. It was quite an exciting evening on the west coast of the United States.
So tell us about it. How did the launch go?
It was about as perfect a midnight, middle of the night launch as you can imagine. The clouds were clear, the winds died down, the seas were nice, and the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket was carrying a very special NASA space probe for the world's first planetary defense experiment. This DART probe is designed to smash into the tiny of the two asteroids that are spinning around each other. The main body asteroid is called Didymos, and the little moonlet that circles around it, that's actually the target for this mission, is called Dimorphos. Now, the way that NASA officials describe this to me, this is like driving a golf cart into a football stadium full of rocks in hopes that if you hit it hard enough, maybe you can nudge that football stadium out of your way.
That seems like a really big test. As they explained it, hitting a football stadium full of rocks with a golf cart, how are we going to know when it worked or if it worked?
Well, that's a very good question. The probe is carrying with it this wonderful little pint-sized CubeSat satellite. It's about the size of a pint of milk. It weighs about 31 pounds and is designed and built by the Italian Space Agency. And it's piggybacked on the probe. And about 10 days before they reach the asteroid and impact it, this CubeSat will peel itself away and then ride alongside. It'll ride shotgun, if you like, and will photograph 6 times a second the events of the proposed and hoped for impact with the asteroid and beam it back to Earth. So in a way, we'll have a kind of movie of this unfolding. We will know that the impact took place almost as soon as it happens. And it will then be monitored by the Italian CubeSat satellite for the several days after the initial impact. Ground-based telescopes will do their best to track the really tiny variations in the velocity of this small asteroid that they hope to cause. And then also in a couple of years, the European Space Agency is sending a follow-up mission into the general vicinity of this wreck to see more directly what, if anything, happened and what the aftermath looks like.
Explain to us a little bit more about that science. Why will hitting this, you know, small asteroid on the side of a big one make a difference to its trajectory?
Yeah, it's kind of like the physics of playing pool. I mean, a very, very, very small change in the velocity of an orbiting object will, over time, result in a very large change in its course, in its direction, and in the orbit that it passes. So in this case, they expect the DART spacecraft to, you know, it's packing a lot of momentum there, 15,000 miles per hour. That's like 4 miles a second. That's 8 times faster than like the fastest fighter jet we have. It's like going to crash that into the side of a building. It may impart, if all goes well, enough force to change the velocity of that small asteroid, maybe by a fraction of a millimeter per second, which is almost nothing. But over time, it will build up, it will accumulate, and that tiny change in the velocity will start to result in a larger and larger divergence from the original path.
All right, Lee, NASA is insisting this asteroid poses no threat to Earth at the moment, but how much of a concern is there for, you know, another object smashing into Earth?
Well, you know, it does sound sort of like science fiction to be worrying about this, but I can assure you that, you know, in our solar system, this is a remarkably common event. Like, look up at the face of the moon, and it's pockmarked like acne with the impact craters. These are, of course, left over from events that happened billions of years ago, and until relatively recently, astronomers thought that these kinds of events were something that belonged to the dim primordial past of our solar system. But in recent years, starting about, say, 25 or 30 years ago, there were some pretty key events that brought it to our attention in a kind of shocking way. Some of our listeners may remember the comet Shoemaker-Levy that broke up in between Saturn and Jupiter in 1994, and then proceeded to slam into Jupiter, chunk after chunk, like it bombarded the Jupiter with impacts that were thousands of times more powerful than any thermonuclear device ever exploded on Earth. And it all took place in front of the newly launched Hubble Space Telescope. And astronomers and people around the world were actually able to kind of see this. And it was a very dramatic and very unsettling moment. And I remind us that in 2013, there was a major event over Russia that was widely publicized, that an object that estimated to be about maybe 65 feet across came through over central Russia and exploded in midair with a force and an energy equal to about 400 times that of the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima.
You know, we see Hollywood dreaming up different ways for pushing away an asteroid or destroying it. Apart from the method that they're using with DART, what other possibilities were scientists looking at to move an asteroid or prevent it from hitting the Earth?
Well, there have been some very clever ideas, ranging from shooting them down with nuclear-tipped missiles at a safe distance. People have proposed that you could build giant lasers that could burn them out of the sky. And there is even a proposal to use the pull of gravity from a passing spacecraft, the very faint force, to actually kind of tug an errant asteroid out of a harmful and potentially destructive path. My personal favorite, planting a solar sail on an incoming asteroid so that the force of the solar wind, that stream of charged particles coming off the sun, that pressure would, like the wind, just push an asteroid onto a safer and less potentially threatening course.
Lee, according to NASA, this asteroid isn't actually a threat to us, so why should we be worrying about this at all?
Well, first of all, I want to emphasize that this is not a threat now in the sense that they have identified almost all of the extremely large asteroids, asteroids like a half a mile across or larger, like the asteroid that the scientists are pretty sure 66 million years ago slammed into Earth and wiped out most of the dinosaurs. That was believed to be about 6 miles across. They know where those are. They've calculated the orbits, and they're very confident that those pose no threat to Earth for the next several centuries. There are many thousands more that are smaller, yet still potentially devastating, and they only know where some of them are. So it's a threat now. We can say it's a remote threat, and it is a remote threat. This doesn't happen every day, but it only has to happen once.
All right. That was our science writer, Robert Lee Hotz. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for asking me to talk about this.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them, with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.